And what does the world consist of? The answer we instinctively want to give to that question is matter, hard stuff, solid stuff, stuff that doesn't squash up. But 20th century physics has thrown out of the window the idea that the world is actually composed of hard matter. We instinctively feel it is, but it's just not true. What seems to us can be matter can equally well be energy. And when we try to probe down to what kind of basic particles the world consists of, it's a chase that has no end to it. We never find the basic particles of matter. It all dissolves away into components that sometimes seem to be particles, sometimes seem to be waves, perhaps are energy. We find ourselves entering a strange basement world, the so-called quantum world, where what we thought was common sense just doesn't apply. There's more to creation than we realize. Religious people have long been saying that there's more to creation than is apparent to humans. And they've largely framed that theory of the hidden, unseen part of creation in terms of angels. Angels are not God, like us. They're part of creation. But they're a part of creation that is normally hidden from us, not normally part of the world of sight and hearing and so on. Angels belong to the unseen part of creation. Or you might say they belong to the spiritual side of it. It seems to me that science and religion have converged on a kind of two-part theory of creation. There's one part of creation, the everyday world, a world of matter, a world we know through sight and hearing and so on, a world where common sense applies. And both science and religion agree that there is another part of creation that is normally unseen to us. They don't agree entirely about that other part of creation, but they do at least agree about what it is not. It's outside the range of what we can detect with our senses. It's not a world composed of solid matter. It's not a world where common sense applies. And that's equally true of the angelic world and the quantum world of modern physics. You can see the theory of angels as a kind of pre-scientific theory, anticipating, without the aid of modern science, some of the conclusions that physics has reached in the 20th century. Let me briefly summarize some of the key points of the theory of angels that Christians developed. It was one of the great achievements of the late Middle Ages, around the 12th and 13th centuries, and it became quite a sophisticated theory. Angels are very numerous. They exist in astronomical numbers. They have a special relationship to light, fire, and flames. They're creatures of understanding, and there are many other kinds of consciousness in the world beside human consciousness. Angels have been present from the beginning of creation. They exist in a hierarchic order of nested levels within levels. They're musical in nature and work in harmonious relationship with one another. They don't have material bodies, though they can temporarily assume the appearance of human or other bodies for the sake of communicating with and helping human beings. Their primary role is praise, and they're present with us in worship. The majority are friendly, but not all. Christ has power over the angels. The angels have a special relationship to human consciousness. We human beings help link the earthly world with cosmic intelligence. Humans and angels stand at the hinge of creation. And angels may have played a special role in the birth of language. Angels inspire prophets and awaken human imagination and intuition, and thus befriend the artist in a special way. Angels are amazed at us. We can do morally good actions through free will in a way that's not possible for the angels. And our actions through the angels can affect the entire cosmos. Angels have many functions in their relationship with human beings, including inspiring, message-bearing, protecting, guiding. Both good and bad angels are in the arena of our consciousness and can affect our decision-making. And finally, the angels accompany people from this life to the next. St. Thomas Aquinas in the 13th century is the greatest theorist of angels. And some of the conclusions he came to about angels anticipate 20th century physics in a remarkable way. And in particular, what Aquinas says about angels is very similar to what Einstein says about photons, little components of light. Both angels and photons are composed of light. Angels and photons have no body, no mass. Rather than having bodies, they're both units of action. They both act in one place and then another. But with both angels and photons, movement from one place to another is instantaneous. Light doesn't get older, neither do angels. They're both ageless. I take the theory of angels very seriously. And far from thinking that the idea of angels has been made incredible by science, it seems to me that some key points in the theory of angels have actually been confirmed by science, and that the way theorists of the late medieval period anticipated some of 20th century physics is quite astonishing. But there are important differences between the theory of angels and the physics of photons and so on. And I'm not sure what to make of these differences. But I don't necessarily conclude that the theory of angels just got some things badly wrong. The theory of angels may have intuited some things about the hidden, unseen part of creation that modern science simply hasn't got to yet. The theory of angels may not necessarily be wrong. Or the theory of angels and modern physics may be theories that focus on different aspects of the unseen side of creation. But one key point of difference is that angels understand. They're intellectual creatures. The light of understanding shines more strongly in them than it does in us humans. They don't normally have speech. It's normally a silent understanding, or perhaps an understanding that transcends speech and silence. But they're creatures with a deeper understanding than we have about the wonder of creation, its mystery, its origins. And another important difference is that angels, unlike photons, are joyful creatures. Joy is their normal mode of being. They don't share in this world of grief and anxiety. Their joy is linked to the praise of God, which is their natural and core activity. Our praise of God is faint and fitful. It's what the angels do constantly and naturally. And angels, unlike photons, are good beings, many of them good, some are fallen. Most angels are good and are engaged in the struggle between good and evil. Most work to see that good prevails over evil. They're morally committed and work to see good prevail, though without sin. And this is a very important difference between the theory of angels and modern physics. Physics has always assumed that the world is morally neutral. Creation is morally neutral. The theory of angels assumes that the creatures of light that envelop this world are good. And angels, unlike photons, connect us with God. And that's presented very graphically at the end of our gospel reading this morning about angels ascending and descending on the ladder set up between heaven and earth. There's much more I could have said about angels this morning, about the way people experience angels in their daily lives. But I've chosen to focus for now on the point that belief in angels is credible in this scientific world. And part of the theory of angels has in fact been confirmed by modern science. And as I've said, the role of the angels is to praise. And when we praise God, the angels are here with us. When we go to the altar, I will say the words, "With angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven." And then they join us in that ancient hymn of praise that is recorded in Isaiah. "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord most high." Amen. The Collect for St. Michael and All Angels.